Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise you. We praise you. Worship you, Father. Give you glory. Give you honor. Lift up the name of Jesus, the precious name of Jesus. So grateful today, Father, for your goodness, that you loved us while we were still sinners. You loved us when we were deserved punishment, when we deserved hell. That was our eternal destiny. Because of your great love, because of Jesus, it changed everything. He came into our hearts and transformed us and opened up the door for the abundant life here in this earth, Lord, and then everlasting life with you. Eternity with you, just pouring out your kindness and your generosity and your great love. Lord, I thank you today for this church and Good News Church, and what an amazing history we've had here. So many lives touched and impacted. But I know, Lord, our best days are ahead. That we're growing as a body and maturing as a body and growing up in some things. Moving into one accord, Father. Not for our glory, not so the name of Good News Church would be great or any person, but the name of Jesus would be made great, that you'd be made great in this city, in this area, and even in the world, that we would honor you, that this church would represent you, that we'd be ambassadors for Christ. And so I thank you that you're helping us do that. Lord, you're helping us raise up life givers to go into their world and give life. And also, Lord, that they may have life and have it richly. I ask you, Lord, to help me today. This is not about me and having a great message and tickle people's ears, Lord. This is about you and your plan. Father, may the Spirit of God be able to speak here today. And speak clearly with power and with authority. And Lord, even the hardest heart here, and maybe some that have grown cold and some that have drawn away from you and some that have made mistakes and maybe they feel like they've committed the unpardonable sin. Lord, minister to them today. Demonstrate your power to them and break through any layers of hardness, Lord, and callousness with your love and your graciousness. That we may get a glimpse, Father, of who we are as a body and who we are as people here today, and you reveal to us your plan for our lives and just the awesome things you have for us. Pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Well, last week, talked about the three main characteristics that you can look for to determine whether a church or a body is in one accord. And it was just one of those messages. I just had some scriptures written down and the Lord just kind of gave utterance and you were open and one thing led to another and some awesome things happened, and encourage you to get the CD and get that message. There's just some really good things for us at this place in our history as a church. But I had something that I called the one accord test, and things that we're looking for in this season of one as I believe we're moving towards one accord. And the first one was our hearts. This was the message from last week, that our hearts were saturated with God's great love. That we have first to be able to receive that and recognize it and know it and understand it before we can do the next two, which is have great love for one another. The Bible says that the world would know that we are His disciples by our love one for another, by the love demonstrated in here between each other, would be a testimony and a witness to the world. And then the third one is that we have great love for the lost. Jesus died for unsaved people, sinners, people separated from God. He died for the lost. He died for the hurting. He died for the brokenhearted. And so just as God's heart is, for God so loved the world, then that should be our hearts. If we are in Christ and He's in us, our hearts should be for the world, to see that the world saved and to see hurting people have their lives transformed. And the early church had this in one accord, and it was mentioned over and over throughout especially in the first part of the book of Acts. Acts 4, verse 32, I'll just read this from the Message translation. It says, "The whole congregation of believers," who are the believers? The ones that have made Jesus Christ their Lord, that received Jesus as Lord, the ones that were born again. Ask God all the different things you may want to say. Ask God to come in their hearts. "The whole congregation of believers was united as one. One heart, one mind." Everybody say one heart.
One heart.
One heart. And that's just amazing as I see that, because I know how difficult it is to have that in a marriage. That's just two people. How difficult it is to have one heart in a family. Or in a business, on a team. Certainly something a lot smaller than a church of hundreds of people. And then not only that, it's hundreds of different kinds of people. You know, we talk about Good News Church. We just have everything you can think of here, really, as far as people. And we're expecting more of the same. But to come together is not an easy thing, to be in one heart. And they had that in the early church. And so that should be encouraging for us today. Because the early church is our pattern, our model. It's our standard. And God will empower us. He will enable us to hit the standard. And I believe going above and beyond the standard. The Bible clearly says that the latter house will be greater than the former. The Bible says that Jesus will come back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's going to come back for a glorious church. And a glorious church will be a unified church. It will be a church in one accord. It will be a church that has one heart. So this one heart, how is this possible? And you know, the question we have to ask ourselves, I'm just saying before that I believe we should, but can this happen for a Good News Church? Well, it must happen. I believe it can happen. It must happen. And we're hopefully not the only church where it needs to happen at. It needs to happen at every church everywhere throughout the world. And so Acts 2, I think, will give us some insight into having one heart. Turn to Acts chapter 2. If you have your Bibles. In my Bible, above this portion of scriptures, it says, "A vital church grows." Something that's vital is alive. It's healthy. It grows. Acts 2 verse 42 says this, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those being saved." See, that's a healthy church. You're adding. Doesn't necessarily say hundreds or thousands are coming in every day, but you're adding. Every day you're growing. You're adding to your body. And that was the plan of God. And so as we're reading here, we see different values. Certain things that they held that were important in their ministry and in their lives. But there's one word that you can kind of just gloss or, you know, read over. Because I think because of what's been taught or said about it, that it's kind of, we don't really think about it very much when we see it. It's the word fellowship. Remember that word? We saw that. Apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now this word fellowship, and so in our mind we heard the word fellowship, and we see people, you know, talking, We see people, talking about, sports or football or, guys, football and, what's happening on with TV, what programs we're watching, all these different things. And so, and again, I'm not saying that's not fellowship. In order to get us to know somebody, there needs to be small talk. So that's where we start. So I'm not against that. I'm not against small talk. Small talk can lead to big talk. But that's not all there is to the aspect of fellowship. And I was just doing a lot of studying on this word fellowship. It's the Greek word koinonia. Koinonia. And this word, at its very core, means to share. Everybody say share.
Share.
Is everybody with me today? Everybody say share.
Share.
It means to share, to have unity, close association, a partnership, a communion, contributory help, and a brotherhood. You ever been involved in a brotherhood? You know, we have unions or we have teams or hopefully families. You know, maybe a crisis in a particular situation. It's a brotherhood, in times of war. You know, a band of brothers. Have you ever seen that show? I mean, they're out for each other, helping each other. They're rallying together around a cause, around a mission. That's what this word fellowship means. It's a sharing. But it's not just sharing a few facts about your life. It goes beyond that. It's a sharing of yourself. And I'm just going to go into a little bit about what this sharing is. It's a sharing of yourself. And it may be some details of your life, but it's a sharing of what you think and what you feel, what you believe. And then also a part of that sharing, it's listening to another person and listening to them share. So fellowship is not me doing all the talking. Fellowship is not me dominating the conversation. If I'm going to share, it's not all about me. There's a give and take. And so in this word fellowship, the early church had, there was a sharing of themselves with each other. But it goes beyond just a sharing of yourself. It goes sharing in the care for family members. You know how we care for each other? We care for a family member. The things we do to care for them. Well, fellowship is also sharing what you have for someone else that's in need, hurting, sick, down. A sharing there. Caring about the welfare of each other. And so as we're talking to one another, there's a compassion. We're not just talking to people, that inside there's a compassion. And as the situation arises, that compassion may need to be released. There's a sharing of our resources. Now, we think about that just in terms of money, but there's sharing of our giftings, sharing of our talents, a sharing of our time, which I think is a very precious commodity in this day and age. Time. When we give our time for something, we only have so many hours in the day, and it just seems like, and we saw during School for Life, it seems like we could use our time doing all the things that we don't want to do. And never really pursue the things that are vital for our lives to have joy and to have peace. So there's a sharing of our time. There's a sharing of our money. And we saw that here in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. And I'll just be honest, I haven't seen this in a church body before where in a larger scale, people sold assets. That they believed so much in the cause. That they brought tithes, they brought offerings, but they took like another step and sold their goods. They didn't even give the goods to the church. They took the time to sell it and go through all the hassle. And they didn't, and the proceeds, they didn't tithe off it. They gave the whole, so they had the, in their minds. And then it wasn't, you know, and it, here they're talking about property. I mean, that's just another level of giving. And again, I have not been, you know, we've had some stewardship campaigns and again, tremendous generosity. But I don't even think in that campaign that we had, we really saw all that God wanted to do here. But it's just a, and what are we sharing for? I mean, there's a cause. And I like to say, friends with a cause. We're not just fellowshipping to get to know people and to have friends. That should come out of it, brothers and sisters in the Lord. But we have a cause. We have a purpose. We're unified for a reason. We've got a vision. We've got a mission. We've got the Great Commission. And this church is part of the greater body on the earth, fulfilling God's plan on the earth. And so we're assembling here today to fulfill God's plan. But there's a sharing. And so a church body is made up of individuals coming together to share what they have, so that the vision and the purpose shall come to pass. There's a sharing in the responsibility. And this is, again, this is a deeper level of sharing. A sharing in the responsibility to reach the lost and to reach hurting people. That every person has a responsibility to share in the to share in reaching people with the gospel. And that's one thing I think that makes this church different than a lot of churches is they put the emphasis all on the minister or a few what they call anointed people. And we don't do that here. We say that every believer here at Good News Church has a ministry. Every believer is an ambassador to Christ. Every believer has been given the ministry of reconciliation. And so we want to teach and train and encourage you to step out into your ministry of reconciliation. Now for some, that may lead to full-time ministry. But all of us are laborers that Jesus prayed for in Matthew 9. And so we see as our purpose here to raise up laborers. To go into your world, to go into this world, into Augusta, and to go into other worlds outside of Augusta. And then when the opportunity presents itself to, for you to share the gospel and for you to minister to someone, you'll be ready, you'll be prepared, you'll have something to say, you'll know what to do. So we share in the responsibility for lost and hurting people. But then the last, and there's others, but I'll just, the last one is, we share in the responsibility to help others grow in their faith. That we're, and now I'm talking to especially to the older members, you may not like me to say that, the older members of the church, the those that have been believers longer, we've got a responsibility to impart and pass on the things that we have learned. Take a moment and look at your neighbor. Now turn around, look behind you. Do we have a responsibility for each other to help each other grow? That's something that should be a concern to us and on our minds. So sharing is a huge part of fellowship. Sharing of yourself, sharing in the care for family members, sharing of our resources, sharing in the responsibility for the lost and the hurting, sharing in the responsibility to help others grow. This is what the word fellowship means. And this is why the early church was different than many churches today. They believe in sharing. Now, I heard this definition of church the other day, and I'll read it and then maybe take a moment to comment on it. But I love this, what it says. This is the definition of what a church is. It's the fellowship of those given... How about I come down on the floor? Would that help you? It's the fellowship of those given by Christ to each other what has been given to them, so that together they can be to the world a demonstration of the new life, a demonstration of the abundant life that Jesus died for and lives to make possible. When He performed the miracle of His love in us, it is then that character transformation that begins, that makes it possible for us to love unselfishly. The church was meant to be made up of these people. So what we're saying is, when we were born again, and well, you've heard all this, and I don't need to go into it, but our nature was not alive to God. Our nature was dead to God. We had the nature of the enemy. We had the nature of Satan. And he is about killing, stealing, and destroying. He is about selfishness. He's all about him and taking from others. And everything is about his advantage and his profit. And so that day that you were born again, when you were saved and you asked Jesus, you know, you made him the Lord of your life, what happened is the resurrection power of God came in and recreated you on the inside. And the Bible says made you a new creature. A new creation. But what really happened is that selfish nature was changed to a love nature. The Bible says that God is love. In His essence, He's made up. He is love. And we're talking about the agape love, which is an unconditional love. It's not based on what you do. It's based on a decision that I'm going to love you, and I'm for you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to help you. So our nature, when we were born again, was changed to God's nature. So you see why sharing, for God so loved the world that He gave, God so loved the world that He shared. And that's why in the early church, they had fellowship. They had sharing for a purpose, with a cause. And the church was made up of individuals that had had their lives so transformed by the love of God that, and their hearts were so full of God's love, it just poured out towards others. In church, and I'm talking about Good News Church, should be made up of those people. But what's the enemy of this love? Selfishness. Selfishness is lacking consideration for others. It's concerned chiefly with one's own personal profit, advantage, or pleasure. And that's the enemy, and that's the thing we've got to fight. It's the thing we've got to fight at Good News Church. It's the thing you have to fight as a believer, is selfishness. Is to think that things are about me. And the things that are about whether I'm feeling good, whether I get my way. Paul had to come down in 1 Corinthians 12 to the Corinthian church. One of the churches that had just amazing miracles and gifts of the Spirit, he had to come down upon them because of selfishness had crept in. And we have to resist that. And how do we know then? How do we know if we become selfish? Because we no longer share. And how about we'll take it a step, and you like, you know, rhyming, Nate. We no longer share, we no longer care. Even though you're a believer, you're a Spirit-filled believer, still coming to church, still, you know, read the Bible, maybe listen to a program on the radio or watch something on TV, but the world, whatever, you mingle with the world and you learn their ways and it becomes a snare to them, a trap. And it's like, you know, mile a minute. It just kind of creeps in and just tries to come in and take over. Mark 4 talks about believers. What does it say? The cares of the world. Lust for other things. Deceitfulness of riches. Persecution. Trials. Offense. All these things try to work it, and so that we become focused on ourselves and no longer focused on others. And what do? You start holding back. How many like to play with the kid that, you know, they had all the equipment, and when they got mad, they're going to take their bat and they're going to leave? Or how many times with your own kids, and you're trying to teach them something, and they're saying, "It's mine." And you know, we see that with kids, and we're like, "Oh, come on, you know, you need to share." But how much uglier it is when we've been walking with Jesus for 30 years, and we're that way. It's mine. It's all about me. It's about me looking good and what I got. Selfishness is a cancer for any church body. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to create division. He wants to create strife. He wants to create offense. He's looking at little things, dropping those seeds in your mind to get you to draw back. And his ultimate goal is for you to quit. And we have a lot of believers that are sitting on the sidelines today, once active, once thriving, once excited about the things of God, now have drawn back. And really, I mean, they're just kind of waiting. But the way out of selfishness is to start sharing again. Now you do put yourself out there, and you can become vulnerable. But it's the way to go. It says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Sharing is the overflow of God's great love on the inside. Did you get that? Sharing is the overflow of God's great love on the inside. That you so are overwhelmed and amazed with God's love, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, that you just can't let it just help, just let it seep out, let it just pour out towards others. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians was the church that Paul spent the most time with. Ephesians is the church that Paul spent, had great affection for. And in the book of Ephesians is so many awesome revelations of who you are in Christ and God's plan for the church and the future. But let's look at what it says in Ephesians 4, verse 12. It says, you talk about the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And the Bible says He gave some. Not everybody's going to be one of those five.
That's right.
Sometimes people teach that. It says some. And one of the primary purposes of the fivefold ministry is leadership in the body. And then for what I'm about to read here. For the equipping, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, meaning you're building up the body, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and stature and fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Every part does its share. And when every part does its share, it causes the body to grow for the edifying of itself in love. We need to see the significance of who we are. We need to see the significance of who we are as believers. We need to see the significance of who we are in the body of Christ. That God has got a plan for every one of us. And everybody here. Now, do this again. Point to your neighbor and say, you have a share. And it doesn't say that you have 1% and I've got 50. We all have a share. And I guess what we need to see today, what needs to happen, I guess, for a church to really to be used by God, we have to have a church of believers that take ownership of the vision, of the mission, of the Great Commission, and ownership of fellowship. And say, I've got a part. I've got a part to play here. And if I don't bring my part, the body is going to suffer and not be quite what it could be. So I think of one heart. I think there needs to be some more sharing here. I think there needs to be a little more risk-taking. There needs to be for people to kind of put themselves out there. And maybe you've been hurt in the past and the enemy uses that or uses fear to paralyze you and hold you back. But I think it's a time for boldness. I think it's a time for people to be of good courage. It's a time for people to be fearless. And we need to pray for each other to step out and be who God made us to be. And then have a loving, caring environment even if people fail. But we're not going to get anywhere if we're all just holding on. We're not going to see one heart. So it's a time to open our hearts. It's a time to say, what's my part? What can I give? And you don't have to start with this big worldwide ministry. Just start where you're at. Close with this. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 17, I'm going to read this from the Message translation. Maybe you just want to follow up on the screen. It says, tell those rich in this world's wealth. And you know, and I know it's talking about money. But you know, I would say this to the people of Good News Church, especially those who have been here a while. You've been rich in revelation. You've been fed and fed and fed the Word. So I would add that to those rich in resources, rich in giftings, rich in the Word, rich in knowledge. Listen to what he admonishes here. Tell those rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves. Now, I'd have you turn to your neighbor and say that to him, but you'd enjoy that too much, so we ain't going to do that. So I'll just say it to everybody, and I'll say it to myself, and I'll say it to my wife. Quit being so full of yourself. And so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them to go after God. who piles on all the riches we could ever manage to do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. If they do that, they'll build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is truly life. What I'm talking about here is in fellowship and sharing of yourself, all that you are, is really living. Really living life. Living at what John 10:10 says, the abundant life overflowing with good things. Is when you get wrapped up in blessing that you just have on your mind to bless others, you'll have so much stuff coming to you, you'll need someone to help you manage it all. But you're not about that. And this is so contrary to the world we live in of selfishness. That it's about me and getting what's mine. And I pray to God that selfishness would not take its place in this church. With a name like Good News Church. And I would exhort again, and I've been on your case, those that have been members beyond 3, 4, 5 years here at Good News Church, those who've been walking with God 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you need to check out your heart and see what's going on and saying, hey, am I being an example? Am I leading? Am I mentoring? Am I imparting what I've learned? Do I care about the growth of others? Am I sharing, or have I just gotten so holding on to what's mine, afraid to lose it? That's not a mentality that will lead to one heart. God will help us. He'll help us. But we, the early church was not communism. They did what they did voluntarily. They did because they were moved by the Spirit of God and moved within their hearts. And I'm believing for that here at Good News Church in every area. That God begins, especially the leaders, the older members, the older believers, to lead the way here. And help the younger come along. If we can do this, one heart is a possibility. And we're all going to see the benefits. And this city is going to see the benefits. And this world is going to see the benefits of one heart. Amen? Praise God. Nate, I'm giving you the high five and turning it over to you.
I couldn't think of a better response to the message today than what I'm about to submit to you. I'm going to share with you a couple of scriptures and then tell you a little bit more about what one heart is. It's more than just one Sunday morning message that you've heard from Pastor. One is more than just a season or a movement. It is a call to a revolution in the body of Christ. It's a call to you to unite for the kingdom's cause, for the purpose of the kingdom. And just a few moments, the ushers are going to pass out this handout, one per family, at my instruction. But I want to share with you what this is all about right now. Today we're launching a generosity experience. I can think of no better antidote for selfishness than extreme generosity. Radical, extravagant generosity. And one heart is more than just, and this generosity experience is more than just about your money. This is about your heart. It's about committing yourself and your family to the vision and mission of this church, to the vision and mission of God. And so starting today, going through June 17th, we're believing God for $40,000 over and above our normal tithes and offerings. And you've heard Pastor talk about this at random times. We're believing God for, initially it was $20,000 over and above our tithes and offerings. Then he doubled it to $40,000. Way to go. And a lot of times we can get kind of nervous when we start talking about money at church. And we don't make any apologies for talking about money at church. Jesus talked about money in his ministry, and he recognized people's generosity, and he talked about, and matter of fact, in Matthew 6:21, he said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so if you look at where you're directing your money and your finances, you'll recognize that's where your heart is. And so, we want you to give your heart to the mission and the plan of God as it pertains to Good News Church, particularly in this season of this generosity experience that will go through June 17th. It's about uniting people to reach, uniting us to reach more people than ever before. And what's the money going to be going to? Well, we're believing God for $40,000 over and above our normal tithes and offerings to complete renovations to our building. And you've seen the work that we've done in the atrium. We want to continue that throughout the building. To purchase necessary equipment, to pay off debt, and sow into other ministries that are giving life globally. And what is it about this building? This is one resource that we have to reach people. You heard Pastor Susie say earlier that in the past 4 weeks, we've had somebody on more than one occasion give their lives to Christ as a result of coming to church. And ultimately, we understand that it is everyone's responsibility, the ministry of reconciliation, to go into your world and preach the gospel. But also realize that people come to church and accept Christ as well. And we want them to do that. We want this to be an inviting place, a warm environment where people feel accepted, where people from all walks of life are coming here feeling accepted. And also, not only that they are reached with the gospel, but they are being empowered to reach others with the same gospel that's reached us. Don't you want to see more people experience what you've experienced here at Good News Church? I know I do. So what do you want me to do is the question that you're probably thinking. Okay, well, we're believing God. Do you want us just to pray? Do you want us to believe God with you? Well, we're asking you to determine what your part is. We're asking you to pray about what your part is. Everybody say, "I have a part." We all have a part. And the primary way that God meets the needs of Good News Church are met is through the faithful, generous giving of the members and attenders of the church. And so if God is calling us to go over and above, we are expecting Him to bless you over and above so that you have more than enough to be generous on every occasion. We've started this theme of astonishing blessings, found in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 in the Message. It says, "God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done." How many of you have been believing for God's astonishing blessings in your life as a result of hearing that word? I have too. But we also have to recognize, what is the astonishing blessing for? Is it just so you can drive a better car and have nicer clothes and get more stuff? Or is it so that you can be a blessing to others? Certainly there's a level of that where God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to live the abundant life, live the good life. But it's also about you being a blessing to others. And even before the astonishing blessings take place, we see in verse 7, it says that God loves a cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in his giving. You see that the giving comes before. He even talks about the astonishing blessing in that verse. So what we're asking you to do is to mirror the early church. The early church was so committed to the mission and the vision that they regularly gave, and they did so sacrificially. Just in that scripture that Pastor read earlier in Acts 2, it says the believers met together in one place. They had everything in common. They shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and property and shared the money with those in need. God intends to bless us all in astonishing ways. But it's also important for us to understand that God can use what we have right now in our hand as a seed for a bigger harvest. We believe God will give you creative insight and ideas to multiply your resources in order for you to give toward this experience. We're asking you to get creative with your giving. And we're going to receive an offering in just a few moments. And I want to encourage you, before you kind of write it off, or even before you, you know, pull out whatever change you have in your pocket to stick in the offering, to spend some time praying, to spend some time asking, God, what would you have me to do right now for this initial offering, for this initial phase here, of One Heart, the generosity experience? What is my part? What can I do? And I want us to get this mentality of every time we come to church, we can do something towards this. Because if we all have a part, if we all have a share, I mean, I think about this, $40,000 over and above is nothing. It really is a drop in the bucket for God. And God, I mean, and he could use one person to do it all, but I believe he wants to unite us even through this experience together. Do you believe that? And so I want to give you just a short list, and you'll read over this in just a few minutes, but a short list of things you might consider. The early church, they sold their possessions. They sold property that they had. And I like to believe that, they didn't sell their house that they lived in. I like to believe that they had more houses because God was blessing them in astonishing ways. Right? And so, you know, while it would seem like a sacrifice, when you start giving, you will realize that you haven't sacrificed hardly at all. And what is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is simply giving something you value, giving up something you value for something you value more. Giving up something you value for something you value more. And so I value the ministry of this church. My heart is in this. And so why wouldn't I put my money where my heart is? And so I want to do that, and I want to encourage you to do so as well. Some things you might consider to get creative with your giving. Starbucks sacrifice. What do you have in your hand right now? If you would just give up one latte a week, you might get an extra $20 a month. A yard sale, you could partner with other churches in the family for a bigger profit. You don't have to do it on your own. Some larger items you could sell on Craigslist and eBay. A lot of you have some treasures in your attic that maybe aren't necessarily treasures to you anymore, but they may be, you know, your trash is somebody else's treasure. You might could get rid of some of that stuff. And again, it wouldn't even seem like a sacrifice, selling goods and property. Cable cut. Do without cable TV for a few months and you could save, you could get an extra $200 easy. Burger boycott. Here's a good one. If you eat out a lot, you could start cooking at home and then watch the money go up and your waistline go down. You could do that. Coin collecting. Just collect your change in a jar and pile up the cash and bring it in. Go for the gold. You know, you see these We Buy Gold places popping up all over the place. Gold is valuable and you can cash in your broken and tarnished gold jewelry. Just ways for you to look at, what do I have in my hand right now? What can I do right now to sow into this, believing God for a larger harvest, both for you and for the ministry of the church? And we're asking each of you to set a goal. Set a goal. If your heart is in this, there's no pressure involved, but if you're with us, if you're in this with us, if you want to be involved in this, to set a giving goal that God would use you as just the middleman to transfer some money through to the ministry. Instead of giving, go apply your faith toward meeting and exceeding it. I remember several years ago, and we'll receive the offering in just a moment. I remember several years ago we were doing this Vision 2010 pledge drive towards the church. And Kristen and I set a goal and made a pledge towards that. We were going to give X amount of dollars. And, you know, in the natural we thought, well, there's really no way we can do this in the allotted time. And we have 8 weeks for this campaign, this experience. But by the end of the year, we get our report on how much we gave, and we doubled what we were planning to give through God's miraculous provision. And it wasn't anything that we did in and of ourselves. It was us applying our faith towards that amount, and God was able to use us in extravagant ways through extreme generosity. And so, in just a moment, the band's going to come and they're going to sing. And what you didn't realize is this isn't just a prop here. This is actually an offering container. And so you're going to come and place your offering in the slot at the top here as a way of giving of yourself to this experience. And when you're ready to give, I'm going to pray, and after I pray, you're going to raise your hand, and you're going to receive an offering envelope, a special envelope if you're going to give by cash or by debit or credit card. There's an envelope that we've designed with just one heart on there. And then also the ushers are going to pass out this paper. I want you to spend some time over the next few days to pray and ask God, what is the goal that you would have me to set to give towards this experience? And watch God use you in extravagant ways. Watch God use you in incredible ways. Are you with me today? So the band's going to play. You're going to prepare your offering, whatever it is that God is directing you to do. And you'll come up and place your offering right here. There's a slot in this box. And I'm really honored to receive this offering today. And I'm excited about what God's going to do in and through the people of Good News Church as He blesses us in astonishing ways. Once we pray, then you'll raise your hand for an envelope if you would like one. And then as the band comes and you're ready, you'll come up and place your offering in the box. Let's pray together. Father, we're asking collectively and individually, what is our part towards this experience? What is our part in one heart? We know every part does its share, and we're asking you, Father, corporately and as individuals, what would you have us to do? What would you have us to do in this offering today? What would you have us to do as a giving goal towards this? Father, we thank you that your heart is for people. Your heart is to unite this church to reach more people than ever before. And we believe that we're getting on the same page with you. We're getting in agreement with you concerning the vision and mission of what you have for us. And so, Father, I pray that you're directing the people, the members, the attenders, the congregation of Good News Church to give as you direct them. The scripture says that let each one make up his mind what he would give. And I thank you, Father, that as we're directed by you, we would give and we would not be so full of ourselves, but we would share and we would give extravagantly. And we would watch you pour on the blessings in astonishing ways. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bye. with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way.
Hallelujah. Let's give God praise. Worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Now we're going some places in this ministry, Father. Again, it's not about just the church fulfilling its plan, but all of us as individuals getting a vision for you for our lives and finding our place. Lord, that this would be a place where we learn and practice sharing and take it to the world, Lord. Get so good at it, we have to go on the road or take it to other places. So I thank you what you're doing, Lord, that we're growing up in all things, that we know the width and the breadth and the depth of your love, and we would know and experience it in a greater measure. Lord, that we'd be so full of your love and your kindness that it would just pour out wherever we go, that we would be a light in a dark world. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Brenda, would you come up here, please? Probably don't want to do this, but Brenda's had a loved one go on the last few days. I want to minister to her. But also, I want to open it up. Is there anybody else? I mean, you know, if we care, if there's people hurting here today, if you have a need today and you want someone to minister to you and agree with you and believe God for God's demonstrative of God's power and love, why don't you come up here? Hallelujah. If you're hurting in any way, you want someone to minister to you, just step out from your seat and come on up here, please. Hallelujah. Come over here, Brenda. How are you doing? You're here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, for your love and your kindness, your comfort to overwhelm my sister right now in the name of Jesus, with that peace that surpasses all understanding, to guard her heart. I ask for your strength, for your wisdom, to be able to sort out all the feelings and all the things that are happening, and to be able to move forward, and now to move forward to be a blessing to those that are hurting in this family and hurting right now. So I thank you for your love and your peace right now. Overwhelm or overtake it right now in Jesus' name. Give no place to the enemy. The enemy will get no glory out of this situation. And Father, I don't know how you do it, but you turn it around for good. You turn it around for your glory right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Bless you, Pastor.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand, everybody. Glory to God. Well, then, go ahead and catch hands with each other. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, I know there's people here hurting today. There's people here with broken hearts. There's people here that are afraid. There's people here that are bound in fear, dealing with all kinds of circumstances, all kinds of stresses. Some wanting to give up. Some wanting to quit. Some wanting to draw back. Some that don't feel loved or cared for. I ask in the name of Jesus that you minister to them right now. That your power flow in this place. Sickness, I take authority over you. You leave in the name of Jesus. Health, come. Provision, come in the name of Jesus. Mind, be free in Jesus' name. Fear, you go in the name of Jesus. And I ask for strength and power and peace to come right now. Wisdom to come right now in the name of Jesus. And for this week, astonishing blessings, astonishing things to happen. And Lord, I just declare right now that the things that the enemy has meant for harm, you turn it around in the name of Jesus right now. Devil, you are defeated. You are under our feet. You were defeated 2,000 years ago. You take your hands off God's property. People here today are free. People here today are full of joy. Walking in your peace. I thank you for it. Give you praise. Alex, just give him praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you thanks. Thank you, Lord, for breakthroughs. Thank you, Lord, for transformation. Thank you, Lord, for change. Thank you, Lord, for growing up in all things. Thank you, Lord, for the plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only are we going to have one heart at Good News Church, we're going to have one heart in our marriages, one heart in our relationships, one heart in our families, one heart in our businesses. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for it, Father. Speak a blessing over the people here today. Call them blessed. Blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. They are the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. Your favor rests on them over generous preferential treatment. Open doors of ministry. Opportunities this week to give life. That we'll be bold and we'll seize those opportunities and give life to those around us. We thank you for